Hey, good morning, Christ Church. Welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. Man, I want to say a huge thank you to all those who came out for our Mother's Day services. Even though the weather was absolutely horrible, it was a great time. I hope that, moms, you felt appreciated and valued because we do love you. And speaking of Mother's Day and moms, Church, I have exciting news. The Beatler household is going to be welcoming baby number two tomorrow. So Monday, we're going in. The baby's coming out. So we just appreciate your prayers for safe delivery and healthy baby and healthy mom. And what that also means is I'm not going to be around for a couple weeks, but we have an amazing lineup. Jovan, Tony, Doc are all going to be preaching to you, bringing a powerful word, and then I'll be back with you. But we're excited and appreciate your prayers. Well, today we're going to continue our sermon series called A Prayer for Troubled Times. But just before we get into it, would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God we can call out to when life is hard. Father, life's been hard for many of us. It's been confusing, and Lord, it's just been exhausting. So today, Father, I pray that you could meet us, you could speak to us, and I pray you could give us the ability to, Lord, really hear feedback and direction and guidance from you in a way that, Lord, we can have an open heart and we can make changes and become more of who you want us to be. Father, bless us today as we look at your word. We ask all this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, when I was in my early days of college, one night, me and my good buddy, we were going to go and meet some friends for dinner. And I walked into his car and sat down and closed the door. And as soon as the door closed, he did one of these. He went, took a deep breath. And he said, "Man, you stink." And I looked at him really irritated and annoyed, like, "What are you talking about? And you're telling me I stink? Like, let's get out of here and go. You're annoying me already, and we're 2 seconds in this." He's like, "No, man, you really stink. You smell like BO. He's like, "Just smell yourself right now." So after some other words going back and forth, I finally calmed down and I, you know, did a little self-check there. And it turns out he was absolutely right. This jacket that I had on, it probably needed wash. And I don't know how you are about clothes, but it's kind of like gas in a car. Like if I'm on E, I'm like, how much further can I go? With a shirt or a jacket, I'm like, how many times can I wear this before I need to wash it? Anyone like that? Give me a little thumbs up in the chat if you know what I'm talking about. And I had apparently pushed this too far. And he was right. He's like, "You got to go in and change your jacket." So I went in and I changed my jacket. And thankfully, the restaurant that we went to, we ended up sitting shoulder to shoulder in a booth. We're incredibly close to each other. So that would have been a really, really awkward night. But you know, it's always hard to hear that you stink, isn't it? Whenever we get constructive feedback, you might call it, that's a nice way of saying it, constructive feedback. Sometimes it might feel like criticism. It might feel like an attack. But have you ever noticed that sometimes in life, the feedback that you most need, you're most close to? Have you noticed that sometimes in life, that when you actually stink, everyone knows it except you, and you desperately need to know it? Because my friend was not actually saying that I stink. He was saying, "Your jacket stinks." And he was actually being a good friend to me. And in life, there are times where we need to hear that. We need people, and we need sometimes the Lord to say, "Hey, it's not that you stink. It's your attitude stinks. And it needs change. It's not that you stink, it's your approach stinks, and you need a new approach. It's not that you stink, it's the way that you've been thinking about it. That's what stinks, and you need a new way of thinking about it." And those moments are some incredibly important moments if we can learn to hear them and receive them. But if you're like me, those moments are hard to receive. Those moments we can be our most defensive, we can be our most closed, and yet when we let those moments pass by in our own security and our own defensiveness, we might miss the moments that we need to be prepared for God's future. And we're going to see that the great King David, who we've been looking at Psalm 25, he's going to help guide us through these type of moments. But here's what I want you to know today. And I really want you to have an open heart, because what I'm going to talk about today, this might be the very thing that God is going to use to change your life. And if you can have an open mind and an open heart to this, I think it's going to help tremendously. But here's the big idea today. I want you to know, feedback is your friend. It's your friend. Most of us, we don't see it that way. Most of us, we don't like it. Now, it's not always going to be delivered perfectly. It's not always going to be put in the best terms. But no matter how it comes, hear me on this, church, it is actually your friend. And you need to make friends with it. And here's something even deeper. God's feedback in your life is your best friend. God's feedback in your life is what you and I actually desperately need if we're going to keep growing and becoming who God wants us to be. And I want to share some of this with you from Psalm 25, verse 8. And here's how King David said it. He said, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." Now, there's a lot in these verses, and I want to unpack them for you today. But what David is saying is, he's saying, hey, God is good. He's upright, and he teaches sinners his way. He instructs them. He guides them. He leads them. And these paths lead to good places. Those who are willing to come under the leadership of the Lord are going to end up in a better place than they would without that leadership. And so what David is helping us to do is he's helping us to be in a relationship with God where we can learn from him, where God can challenge us, where God can give us feedback, and he can redirect our way. Now, for us to be really willing to receive that from God, there's some things that we have to understand about God. And here's the first things David says. He's good and upright. He's good and upright. At the core, God is good. He is uniquely trustworthy. Now, I think that's so important to really get into your heart and soul today, because I found that in my heart for many years, I always had this underlying fear that God was going to bamboozle me. You know what I'm saying? I always had this fear that God was going to bait and switch me. And it was a fear that I could not always articulate. And if you would have asked me, I would have denied it. But it lived deep inside my heart. That somehow I thought that maybe, you know, if I just fully trusted God, he was going to take me to a place that wasn't desirous. And I wonder if maybe some of us deep in our heart have that fear too. And our resistance to God is actually a fear that he's going to bamboozle us, that he's going to bait and switch us. Because that happens in life. Allie wanted to order this rug for Emery. And it was like this, you know, cool rug for kids. It had some fun graphics on it. And when you saw the picture on Amazon.com, it looked like this huge rug that she could play on and roll on. And it looked awesome. Well, you know how this story is going to go. Well, we got the rug in the mail, and this huge, sprawling, beautiful rug was about the size of a basketball. She couldn't even fit everything on it. And what looked so cool in the picture ended up being far less cool in person. And I know we all have had orders like that. And I think that's what we think with the Lord, that, man, God's given me this desire, but can I really trust him to fulfill it? God has directed. There's these things that are incredibly important to me. Is the Lord going to be faithful to meet those needs of our heart? And David says, here's what you need to know about the Lord. He is good and upright. You can trust him. God is not shady. That's what upright means. It means that he doesn't have some hidden motive that he's trying to con you into. Or he's going to say, hey, let me lead you on, and then change it on you. Let me dangle this before you and then pull it away. Church, that is not the heart or the character of God at all. A couple weeks ago, right across the street from our neighborhood, there was a police chase. This was big deal in North Ridgeville. See, Allie and I, we used to live in Cleveland for 7 years. So this was just like Tuesday there, police chases. But in North Ridgeville, this is kind of an uncommon thing. And my in-laws were there, and they saw it all unfold because the police chase ended right across our street. You could see it right out the back doors of our house. And when this ended, there were several people in the car. They got out, they ran into the woods, and the police were trying to get them and chase them down. Well, this all unfolded, and then several hours later, my in-laws were watching my daughter Emery, were in their car, and they were leaving our neighborhood. And as they were leaving, a man came up to them who looked completely out of place. His clothes were soaked. It was pouring that day. He looked scared and disheveled. And he came up to him and he said, hey, I'm trying to get to my sister's baby shower. Like, that was the best line that you could come up with. Can I get a ride? Can I use this? And he began to ask them. And they knew something was off. And they just kind of politely declined. Well, about a half an hour after that, all over our neighborhood Facebook page were photos of the police arresting this guy because he was one of the guys who had escaped from this chase earlier. Now, my point in telling that story is to say that North Ridgeville is not safe. No, I'm just kidding. 100%. My point in telling that story is that I think we wonder, is God truly trustworthy? Are his motives pure? Is he trying to work some angle on us? And David says, here's what you need to know. Number one, God is good and upright. Scott McKnight, a great New Testament theologian, he says, God is good and he does good. He relentlessly and tenaciously chases us with good. Church, when you open your life to the leadership of God, you will be overwhelmed with goodness. That's where he's going to lead you. That's his heart. That's who he is. That's how he relates to us. And so we don't have to worry about some hidden agenda. We don't have to worry about being baited and switched. You don't have to carry around the desires of your heart and wonder, is God going to fulfill them? Yes, he will. In his way, in his time, according to his purpose. And those desires will be fulfilled only with him. Not apart from him. He is good and he is upright. And David says, he says, and therefore he instructs sinners in the way. David says he instructs. Then verse 9, he leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble his way. And notice this, David says God is good and upright. And from that place, he instructs, leads, teaches all of those who are willing to be directed by him. Now, I want to talk about this for a second. David says he instructs sinners in the way. Now, some of us, when we hear that language, we might not like it. David, who are you calling a sinner here? Right? I'm a nice person. I do good things. I pay my taxes. I help people out when I can. I haven't, you know, stolen or killed anyone or done anything crazy like that. Like, David, tone your language down a little bit. But I want to give you a different way to think about this. See, there's a word that the scriptures uses for sinner that I think is a really helpful word. In fact, it's a word that the New Testament uses all the time, and it's a word that kind of has roots in this passage here. But sinner here is this concept of missing the mark. Of this idea that there's a bullseye that we should be aiming for. But sometimes we don't always hit the bullseye. And just think about your life. Have you ever missed the mark as a husband? You're like, you knew, like, okay, all I know is that wasn't the bullseye. Maybe this Mother's Day, maybe you got lazy and you forgot to get your wife a card or something. You missed the mark. Have you ever missed the mark with your kids? Have you ever missed the mark at work? Right? There's all kinds of times that we miss the mark. We don't hit the bullseye. We don't act or live or think or represent always who God is calling us to be. And that's this concept of center. And what that helps us to do, I think, is it helps us to stay, when we see ourselves that way, it helps us to stay in a growth mindset. See, there's ultimately two basic mindsets you can have in life. You can have a fixed mindset, which says that, hey, I am the way that I am, and nothing and no one is ever going to change that. Sometimes people will tell me, Chet, people don't change. And I think that is one of the most dangerous lies you could ever believe. If people don't change, I will quit today right now. Because there's no hope for me, there's no hope for you, and there's no hope for the world. But everything that I read in the Bible is built on the exact opposite idea, that people do change. And they change in significant ways with God's help. And that we should always have the mindset that I should be changing, I can change, and God's purpose is for me to keep changing. You with me on this? And when I say that I'm a sinner, that's what I'm ultimately acknowledging. That I'm not content to stay where I'm at. That there's a lot of ways I haven't been hitting the bullseye. But with God's influence in my life, I can keep getting closer. You with me on this? I think that is a healthy mindset. See, for some of us, one of the most important things we can do today is to actually see ourselves that way. See, when I say a sinner, that doesn't hurt my self-esteem. What that means is that, look, I'm not who I should be yet. I haven't always got it right, but I'm going to keep trying to get better with God's help, with God's grace. And I'm trusting that God is going to help lead me in this process. That's the growth mindset. And I want you to know today, wherever you're at, I want you to believe in your heart that you can change, that you will change with God's help. Maybe there's people in your life that you've told yourself that line again and again. They'll never change. They'll never change. They'll never change. And your relationship with them is all out of that place, and you're relating to them from that place, and your relationship is damaged because you keep holding that truth. And you keep treating them from that place that says they'll never change. But I want you to know, God instructs sinners in his way. With God, there is always the hope of change. But here's the question for us today. How pliable am I? Because the more pliable I am before God, the more God can pour into me. See, David is saying, he teaches the humble his way. Did you catch that? Why are the humble the only ones that learn his way? Because they're the only ones that will listen. Right? The people with the fixed mindset, the people that think they have it all figured out, they're not listening to God. So therefore, they can't grow. Therefore, God can't lead them. Therefore, God can't bring them to the future that he has for them because they think they've already arrived. Or they think that there's no hope or ability to change. So today, church, I want you to ask yourself, how pliable am I? Can I be challenged by God? Can God correct me? Or do I have to be right all the time, even with him? No, God, you got to be wrong on that, Lord, because this is what I've always thought about myself and about this. See, if I can't have a relationship with God where he can correct me, I can't have much of a relationship with God at all. If I can speak to God, but God can't speak back to me, that's not a good relationship. That's not healthy, and that's certainly not a relationship in which God is going to grow me. And here's the other thing, church. If I can't receive constructive feedback from people, I'm kidding myself to think I can receive it back from God. If I am not willing to humble myself at times before people, I'm fooling myself to think that I'm actually doing it before God. And so I want you to think, and I want to challenge myself today, how good are we at receiving feedback from others and from God? There's a great book that I've been reading through in preparation for this message, and the book is called Thanks for the Feedback by Sheila Heen. And she wrote this in the book. She said, people who are willing to look at themselves are just easier to work with and to live with. Can I get an amen on that? Don't we know that's true? Being with people who are grounded and open is energizing. Isn't it exhausting being around people you got to walk on eggshells around? Isn't it exhausting being around people who have to be right all the time, whose egos are so sensitive that you can't actually say what you need to say because it's just going to erupt in an unhealthy thing? When you're open to feedback, your working relationships have more trust and more humor. You collaborate more productively and solve problems more easily. And can we just agree today, church, can you and I decide that we're just going to be people who receive feedback well? Can you and I, can we decide that today? Because if we can decide that, there is no limit to what God can pour into us and to how God can direct us and to how God can change us. Now, let me give you some help in this. Sheila Heen says that there's three basic triggers that really hurt us in feedback that make us not open to it, but resistant to it. And here's what they are, and I'm going to give you a quick way to help fight against our natural resistance to it. The first one, she says, is a truth trigger. Someone says something to you, and it's a truth trigger. You think, there's no way that can be true. My buddy says, you stink. There's no way that's true. Your face stinks, right? That's where we go. We can't comprehend that it's a possibility. Our wife says, man, you know, you've kind of not been a real great person to be around. What? I'm a great person to be around. Don't I sound fun right now? It's a truth trigger. Now, here's what she says. Here's the antidote to the truth trigger. When you feel like you get feedback and there's no way it can be true, instead of letting yourself go into the rage of that, she said, seek to understand what the person is saying. So maybe they're not saying it perfectly, and that's why it triggers you. But maybe if you listen, there's 100% guaranteed something to learn, right? And so what happens is we hear that feedback, we categorize it as untrue, and then we don't make any changes in our life because of it. A better way is to say, okay, I don't understand how this can be true, but I think you're trying to help me because feedback is my friend and I'm humble, so I'm going to learn from it. So tell me more about what you're saying. You with me on this? I think it's powerful. Here's the second thing, relationship triggers. See, sometimes it's the person that it's coming from. There are people in my life that I'm much more willing to listen to feedback from than others. We're all like that. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But what she says is that when we hear feedback that we might be prone to discard, we have to separate the who from the what. So see, sometimes feedback is going to come from people I don't want to hear it from, but it doesn't make it less true. And so I have to say, all right, well let me just remove my issues with that person and let me focus on, are there any kernel of truth in this that I could grow from? She says you have to focus on the story, not of you or me, but you and me. And then ask myself, why is it so hard for me to hear from this person? Maybe there's something I can learn in that. And then the last trigger is the identity trigger. And that's where we get feedback, and we're so threatened by it because it's a threat to our identity. Someone says, man, you're not a pleasant person to be around. You're like, what? No, I am a pleasant person to be around. And you're so upset at your core by it because that's how you see yourself that it dismantles you. But here's the antidote to that. She says, you have to, number one, you have to dismantle the distortions. You have to just right-size the problem. and not let it run away from you, right? Many times the people who are giving us feedback, they're not saying that we are the worst people and we're demon-possessed. Sometimes we hear it that way, right? They're not saying that everything is wrong with us and that therefore we should just quit trying and give up on life. They're probably just trying to point one small thing out. So let's keep it in perspective. And then she says, have a growth mindset. Is it not true that for each and every one of us, there are some areas where we can still grow in? It's true, right? None of us think, hopefully, God willing, none of us think that we have it all figured out. If you do, you got to stop thinking that. There's growth areas. So why should I be surprised when a growth area comes up on the dashboard? I should be like, yeah, that's no surprise, because I'm still a work in progress. I'm still growing. And maybe this is going to help me take one more step. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Find the joy in being wrong. Some of you need to hear that again. Find the joy in being wrong. I'm trying to tell this to my wife. I'm saying, babe, find the joy. Oh, wait, maybe I'm misunderstanding this whole sermon. But truthfully, church, what if we looked at it differently? What if we saw all the opportunities where our wrong thinking, our wrong attitude, our wrong approach, our wrong way of relating, our wrong way of working, what if instead of looking at all those so negatively, what if we said, man, every time I realize some area where I'm wrong, I'm one step closer to being right? Right? What if we just looked at it as, man, I'm one step closer to being more and more on the path that God has for me. And the people who maybe are helping me see that, again, are actually my friends, even if it's not perfectly delivered. Even if it doesn't come in the exact package that it needs to. You know what? I'm strong enough, I'm mature enough, I'm secure enough to still take that gift and to use it in my life to help me keep growing towards who Christ is calling me to be. You with me on this? David says he instructs sinners in his way. He teaches the humble what is right. See, God wants to teach us so much more. We just got to be willing to learn. God wants to change your life, church. And maybe there's been issues that he's been bringing up again and again and again. And every time he brings it up, he's brought it up through this person, through that person, through this person. Every time we shut it down and the Lord's like, I want to take you further, but you won't listen. You won't learn. You won't humble yourself. But the beautiful reality is, man, if we do, we can go with God as far as he wants to go. Your life can go as far as God wants it to go. If you and I just let him say, Lord, just keep teaching me. Keep showing me. I'll eat humble pie every time. I love humble pie. It tastes great. I might have to choke it down, but I know it's going to taste great later on. Now, let me share one last thing. Feedback is challenging because it's a collision where our need to learn and grow is confronted with our need to be loved. Notice how David ends these verses. He says, God, all your paths are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. See, the challenge of feedback is I want to be open to growing and I want to learn. But as soon as you give me feedback, it makes me wonder if I am loved and valuable. It shakes up that reality in my life. And there's a collision there. There's a war that's always going on. Now let me paint the war here of what David is saying. All your paths are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep your covenant and testimonies. Now there's a war in these verses. David's saying, God, you are a God of steadfast love and faithfulness, which means that when I mess up, you don't give up on me. That's steadfast love. It's enduring. It's not fickle. It's not like our love. I'll love you if you remain lovable. But if you stop being lovable, I'll stop loving you. And so that's one side of it. But David says, but for those who keep your covenant, and your testimonies. So there's two ideas. Is God's love unconditional, or is it conditional? Does God love me no matter what, and I can have security in that? Or does God love me as long as I keep walking and listening with him? What is it, unconditional or conditional? And David is saying it's both. It's both. Now let me explain why. Because this is actually really good news for you and for me. David says, to the person who fully and completely lives under the covenant of God, God's love will never leave that person. Never. But I don't know about you. I have not fully obeyed God in my life. Church, I tell you every week, failure after failure after failure. Have you noticed I'm not running out of material? I can promise you this. I'm not going to run out of material. So if God's unconditional love is conditional on my ability to obey his covenant, his desires, then his love is not unconditional for me. But here is the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus unconditionally obeyed God, fully loved him, never once messed up, never once stopped loving and serving God like he should. And so then God's love has been unconditionally on Jesus Christ. But here's how it affects you and me. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, God relates to you as if you are Jesus, as if you are the one who has perfectly obeyed his covenant. So is God's love conditional? Yes, but it's not conditional on me. It's conditional on Jesus Christ. And he has never failed. He never did fail. And his success is your excess. So I want you to know today, God's love for you is inexhaustible. You can't exhaust it. It's unchangeable. And it's inseparable. You can't mess up your way out of God's love, because God's love isn't on you because of you. It's on you because of Jesus. It's not on you because of your covenant faithfulness. It's on you because of his covenant faithfulness. And you can't mess his covenant faithfulness up. So guess what, church? You are secure today in God's love. You can say, God, man, look at every area of my life. Turn over every rock. There's nothing that you're going to see. There's nothing that I'm going to do that's going to break our relationship, because it rests on Jesus. So God, let's get to the work of helping me become more like Jesus. Let's get to the work of helping you change me. I'm not going to hide things. I'm not going to run from change. I'm going to embrace it, because I don't need it all to be loved. I'm already loved right now, and I can be changed from that place of strength. That, church, is the security that we need to be able to accept feedback. See, when I don't need to be threatened by feedback, I have the secure love of God through the covenant faithfulness of Jesus. I have it. You have it. So you can say whatever you want. It doesn't have to threaten my identity. My identity's secure. I can just take that and I can grow from it, because I'm living from a place of strength and power. Here's the prayer that I want to give you today, and I want to challenge you to pray this week. It's Psalm 139. David wrote this later on. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Lord, just search my heart. Point out anything that offends you. And I know, Lord, that it's not going to be a deal breaker, because your love is secure for me. It's just going to be a moment to grow and a moment I want to take. So I want to challenge you to pray that with me. Let's pray that. Church, maybe some of us, that's what's wrong with our marriage right now. We're not learning. We're not humble. We think we're right. We think they need to change. And God's saying, no, I'm trying to point some things out to you, and I need you to listen. Maybe that's our problem at work. It's not everybody else. It's that the Lord's trying to point some things out and we're fighting him on it. And we need to be secure in his love enough to say, you know what, Lord, I'll see it, I'll receive it, and I'll change. Because I know this isn't to earn your love, it's because I have your love. And I know that you love me no matter what, and I'm thankful for that. And so I'm going to keep growing as a way to say thank you for your love for me. Church, if we pray this honestly and authentically, God will change our lives. He will change your life. He will change my life. If we pray this honestly and authentically as a church, and I'll be honest with you, I'm nervous every time I say this prayer. I'm nervous because I'm like, all right, Lord, this is going to hurt a little bit. It's going to hurt, but I know it's right. I know it's healthy, and I know that it will keep moving me closer to you. Let's pray this together. Bow your heads with me. Father, Lord, we come to you like the psalmist does. Lord, first we say thank you that we are secure in our love. Lord, that we don't have to confess and come clean before you to gain your love. But we can confess and come clean because your love is already on us. And that in our confession is transformation, is change, is us becoming more who you want us to be. So Father, help us just to pray boldly, to pray honestly with the psalmist, Lord. I pray you would search me. I pray you would test me. I pray you would point anything out in me that offends you. And I pray I would be open and humble and receptive, and you would lead me along your path. I pray that for myself and everyone else, and I ask this through the great name of Jesus. Amen.